They walked through a couple of checkpoints. Wilson showed his ID each time. Up a set of stairs, and they were standing outside the prison warden's office. Shadow had never been there before, but he knew what it was. It had the prison warden's name, G. Patterson, on the door in black letters, and beside the door, a miniature traffic light. The top light burned red. Wilson pressed a button below the traffic light. They stood there in silence for a couple of minutes. Shadow tried to tell himself that everything was all right, that on Friday morning he'd be on the plane up to Eagle Point, but he did not believe it himself. The red light went out and the green light went on, and Wilson opened the door. They went inside. Shadow had seen the warden a handful of times in the last 3 years. Once he had been showing a politician around. Shadow had not recognized the man. Once, during a lockdown, the warden had spoken to them in groups of 100, telling them that the prison was overcrowded, and that since it would remain overcrowded, they had better get used to it. This was Shadow's first time up close to the man. Up close, Patterson looked worse. His face was oblong, with gray hair cut into a military bristle cut. He smelled of Old Spice. Behind him was a shelf of books, each with the word prison in the title. His desk was perfectly clean, empty but for a telephone and a tear off the page's Far Side calendar. He had a hearing aid in his right ear.
"Please, sit down."
Shadow sat down at the desk, noting the civility. Wilson stood behind him. The warden opened a desk drawer and took out a file, placed it on his desk.
"Says here you were sentenced to 6 years for aggravated assault and battery. You've served 3 years. You were due to be released on Friday."
"Were?" Shadow felt his stomach lurch inside him. He wondered how much longer he was going to have to serve. Another year? 2 years? All three? All he said was,
"Yes, sir."
The warden licked his lips.
"What did you say?"
"I said, yes, sir."
"Shadow, we're going to be releasing you later this afternoon. You'll be getting out a couple of days early."
The warden said this with no joy, as if he were intoning a death sentence. Shadow nodded, and he waited for the other shoe to drop. The warden looked down at the paper on his desk.
"This came from the Johnson Memorial Hospital in Eagle Point. Your wife. She died in the early hours of this morning. It was an automobile accident. I'm sorry."
Shadow nodded once more. Wilson walked him back to his cell, not saying anything. He unlocked the cell door and let Shadow in. Then he said,
"It's like one of them good news, bad news jokes, isn't it? Good news, we're letting you out early. Bad news, your wife is dead."
He laughed as if it were genuinely funny. Shadow said nothing at all. Numbly, he packed up his possessions, gave several away. He left behind Loki's Herodotus and the Book of Coin Tricks, and, with a momentary pang, he abandoned the blank metal discs he had smuggled out of the workshop, which had, until he had found Loki's change in the book, served him for coins. There would be coins, real coins, on the outside. He shaved. He dressed in civilian clothes. He walked through door after door, knowing that he would never walk back through them again, feeling empty inside. The rain had started to gust from the gray sky, a freezing rain. Pellets of ice stung Shadow's face while the rain soaked the thin overcoat as they walked away from the prison building toward the yellow X-school bus that would take them to the nearest city. By the time they got to the bus, they were soaked. 8 of them were leaving, Shadow thought. 1,500 still inside. He sat on the bus and shivered until the heater started working, wondering what he was doing, where he was going now. Ghost images filled his head, unbidden. In his imagination, he was leaving another prison long ago. He had been imprisoned in a lightless garret room for far too long. His beard was wild and his hair was a tangle. The guards had walked him down a gray stone stairway and out into a plaza filled with brightly colored things, with people and with objects. It was a market day, and he was dazzled by the noise and the color, squinting at the sunlight that filled the square, smelling the salt wet air and all the good things of the market, and on his left the sun glittered from the water. The bus shuddered to a halt at a red light. The wind howled about the bus, and the wipers sloshed heavily back and forth across the windshield, smearing the city into a red and yellow neon wetness. It was early afternoon, but it looked like night through the glass.
"Shit,"
said the man in the seat behind Shadow, rubbing the condensation from the window with his hand, staring at a wet figure hurrying down the sidewalk.
There's pussy out there.
Shadow swallowed. It occurred to him that he had not cried yet, had in fact felt nothing at all. No tears, no sorrow, nothing. He found himself thinking about a guy named Johnny Larch he'd shared a cell with when he'd first been put inside, who told Shadow how he'd once got out after 5 years behind bars with $100 and a ticket to Seattle, where his sister lived. Johnny Larch had got to the airport, and he handed his ticket to the woman on the counter, and she asked to see his driver's license. He showed it to her. It had expired a couple of years earlier. She told him it was not valid as ID. He told her it might not be valid as a driver's license, but it sure as hell was fine identification, and it had a photo of him on it, and his height, and his weight, and damn it, who else did she think he was if he wasn't him? She said she'd thank him to keep his voice down. He told her to give him a fucking boarding pass or she was going to regret it, and that he wasn't going to be disrespected. You don't let people disrespect you in prison. Then she pressed a button, and a few moments later the airport security showed up, and they tried to persuade Johnny Larch to leave the airport quietly, and he did not wish to leave, and there was something of an altercation. The upshot of it all was that Johnny Larch never actually made it to Seattle, and he spent the next couple of days in town in bars, and when his $100 was gone, he held up a gas station with a toy gun for money to keep drinking, and the police finally picked him up for pissing in the street. Pretty soon he was back inside serving the rest of his sentence and a little extra for the gas station job. And the moral of this story, according to Johnny Larch, was this. Don't piss off people who work in airports.
Are you sure it's not something like kinds of behavior that work in a specialized environment, such as a prison, can fail to work and in fact become harmful when used outside such an environment?
Said Shadow when Johnny Larch told him the story.
No, listen to me. I'm telling you, man. Don't piss off those bitches in airports.
Said Johnny Larch. Shadow half smiled at the memory. His own driver's license had several months still to go before it expired.
Bus station, everybody out.
The building stank of piss and sour beer. Shadow climbed into a taxi and told the driver to take him to the airport. He told him that there was an extra $5 if he could do it in silence. They made it in 20 minutes and the driver never said a word. Then Shadow was stumbling through the brightly lit airport terminal. Shadow worried about the whole e-ticket business. He knew he had a ticket for a flight on Friday, but he didn't know if it would work today. Anything electronic seemed fundamentally magical to Shadow, and liable to evaporate at any moment. He liked things he could hold and touch. Still, he had his wallet, back in his possession for the first time in 3 years, containing several expired credit cards and one Visa card, which he was pleasantly surprised to discover didn't expire until the end of January. He had a reservation number, and, he realized, he had the certainty that once he got home, everything would somehow be right once more. Laura would be fine again. Maybe it was some kind of scam to spring him a few days early, or perhaps it was a simple mix-up. Some other Laura Moon's body had been dragged from the highway wreckage. Lightning flickered outside the airport, through the window's walls. Shadow realized he was holding his breath, waiting for something. A distant boom of thunder. He exhaled. A tired white woman stared at him from behind the counter.
Hello?
You're the first strange woman I've spoken to in the flesh in 3 years.
I've got an e-ticket number. I was supposed to be traveling on Friday, but I have to go today. There was a death in my family.
I'm sorry to hear that.
She tapped at the keyboard, stared at the screen, tapped again.
No problem. I've put you on the 330. It may be delayed because of the storm, so keep an eye on the screens. Checking any baggage?
He held up a shoulder bag.
I don't need to check this, do I?
No, it's fine. Do you have any picture ID?
Shadow showed her his driver's license. Then he assured her that no one had given him a bomb to take onto the plane, and she, in return, gave him a printed boarding pass. Then he passed through the metal detector while his bag went through the X-ray machine. It was not a big airport, but the number of people wandering, just wandering, amazed him. He watched people put down bags casually, observed wallets stuffed into back pockets, saw purses put down, unwatched, under chairs. That was when he realized he was no longer in prison.